Hey, it's the Nerdlings Podcast, and we're doing a live immediate one because...
No way!
Yes!
Freaking live?
Live, and it goes out immediately as soon as we're done recording.
Oh, listen, people, I am shocked myself. We're live!
Well, check your pulse, make sure you got one.
Yeah, I'm alive.
But before we get to our feature of what I want to talk about and do for our song here, we went gold mining yesterday at a little town called Nelson, Nevada.
Actually gold mining, which was awesome. And guess what?
We didn't find
any gold, but we gold mined.
But no, we did. I did. I didn't find the actual gold, but I found the copper metal ore that the gold is still in because we kind of went... We were rebels and we went illegally on
a unclaimed
mine.
Hey, that's funny. There's your serendipity. You have a University of Nevada, Las Vegas Rebels, UNLV, and we were rebels in our own right yesterday.
Yeah, we went gold mine. It was an old mine.
We just drove up.
You
seen this shack? Turn around. You said, you want to do it now? I said, fuck it. Frigate. Let's do it.
It's
9 o'clock. Climbed up a mountain.
So it was an old gold mine from 150 years ago that they had been to recently, and I say recently, like 1900, because there was a structure there that had boards in it, but it didn't have square nails. It still had the round head nails. But the thing is, it wasn't one of the gold mines that crushed up all the dirt, like you see on that TV show on Discovery Channel, the gold mine, Gold Rush. Where they crush it up.
Yeah.
It's basically one of those mining operations where they would get the earth out and they were looking for nuggets. And so all the smelt and the leftover smudge...
We found.
So we went through and it just had rained, so it kind of cleaned off the dirt a little bit over time. And I probably came back with, I'm going to say about maybe 50... My coat pocket...
You were lucky you didn't get weighted down.
15 pounds of rocks in my pocket. And after I cleaned them all up...
Wow.
I had a wonderful view of gold... Not gold, but very speckled gold in a copper blue-green ore.
Isn't that amazing? When I found those rocks yesterday, it's just like a natural high.
It was.
I saw a red cactus, a regular cactus, then I found this rock, which I wound up giving you with all different kind of blues
and
stuff.
Yes, but you know what you found that I never found in all my times of being there? Because that's an encampment from 100, 150 years ago. The miners would come in and they would just eat out of canned goods. And you found their garbage pile.
Yeah, of course. I'm from Jersey. We always have to find garbage. That's just what I love. What do you think, The Sopranos, waste management? We just gravitate to garbage. I don't know what it is.
You found their old kerosene cans, their old oil cans, their cans that they would open for food and eat, just out there rusting.
It was really amazing. And we found this big thing. I don't know what it was, like a tank, must have been 100 feet big and
20-some
feet high. That kerosene, I have no clue what they were
doing. I wonder if that was their water storage. Who knows?
You don't know because that was just there. You don't know how long it was out there. We found different kind of weird parts to another one of them, and it was just amazing. Plus, we were actually treasure hunting yesterday, and nobody stopped us. It was great.
I'm going to post a few of the photos, just the still photos of what and where we were at that gold mine.
That was awesome.
Because it was pretty impressive.
Let me tell you, when I found like those blue rocks and stuff and you were showing me and we were doing different things, I actually picked up a rock and started saying, hey, let's do this. And before you know it,
we found more.
Yeah, but it was taking the shale that they did. So imagine just that little bit with the hand, how much.
Because let's clarify, we did go into the mine a little bit, but we didn't go too far because of safety reasons.
We went far enough.
What we were digging through was the leftover stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact terminology, the smut or the smelt leftovers that they
We get that
didn't
in Jersey
want.
Too, okay. Smut and smelt. We get all that stuff. I smutted it. I smelt it.
So it was good to go gold mining.
It was awesome. And I'll tell you another thing that was great besides exercise. It was actually seeing the view we were at and thinking, how did these people in the 1800s, 1900s, with no cars at the time, get all the supplies up there? And like you brought up, what happens if you had to eat donkey, kill your donkey? Or rattlesnake? Do you have the stew or something?
I've got to tell this. Jersey Mike doesn't get to the outdoors very often. He saw a rabbit, a wild rabbit, and he thought it was a deer.
Yeah, believe it or not, I thought it was a little deer. I said, look at the size of this little deer, Wayne. He said, what are you talking about?
He holds up his hands like something about the size of a loaf of bread. Little deer about that big. And I'm like, what? I'm thinking, I didn't say it. What is he talking about?
And then on the other side we saw, I said, look, there's one of them little deers again. You're like, no, that's not
that's
a deer.
That's a rabbit.
That's a rabbit. I said, holy shit, that's a big rabbit. I'm used to seeing these white little bunny or these little things. That was a big, skinny, fast rabbit.
And then the conversation continued where I just made sure that you know the jackalope is not a real animal.
Listen, where we were yesterday,
in Nelson.
That was just really invigorating. So if you ever get the chance,
if you come here and visit us in Las Vegas, send us a note, send us a something. We will come out, have coffee with you. Just keep it simple, nothing heavy. Simple meeting, say hello. And if you want, we'll be a tour guide and take you out to Nelson.
Now, that's a, there you go. That would be perfect, especially if you're Bruce Springsteen or anybody with weight, which we can turn around and do a live podcast.
I got to talk about this, okay? Because I was wanting to go. The town of Nelson is not really a town that's on the tourist stop.
No, not at all.
It's actually very quiet in the sense that it's not on the tourist lines. Like, you got to go to Nelson. It's 80 miles outside of
Vegas.
Las Vegas. It's on, you have to take a right-hand turn as you're heading to Boulder to go visit Hoover Dam.
Past the Railroad Spike Casino.
Yes. But back in 2009, Donnie and Marie, with Donnie's son Brandon, went out there to do a photo shoot for their album. Okay?
Guess what Wayne found?
Well, I found, I'm not going to go into the whole.
No, you don't have
I'm going
to
get just the top of the iceberg.
Just
okay?
The top. Let people wonder.
I know where to look out there to find these, I don't want to say unreleased or unpublished photos. Somebody might have them. But now I have them of these photos that you can't find on the internet.
And you've
of
been talking
Donnie
about this for years. Since I know you. Now you finally, we got there and you got them. So that was good.
I asked for permission and I took them and I have them. And do you think I should share them on Instagram?
Why not? You
know why? Should I tag them?
I would tag them because they're here 3 years running, Donnie and Marie.
They did this photo shoot 7 years ago. I did the math.
I would tag them because then I have a Jersey connection where my dad met Donnie Osmond years ago.
Tell me about that.
Okay. My dad used to work for Child's World, which was a toy store. Long story short, one day Donny Osmond comes in. Everybody's like, wow, Donny Osmond. My dad's a little quicker than most people. So he says, how can I help you? Blah, blah, blah. So he basically took him around and toured him. He says, listen, can you get me Hungry Hungry Hippos? My dad made sure he got Hungry Hungry Hippos.
The game.
We used to bang, bang, bang for his son. Probably the same son that went out for the photo shoot. You don't know exactly. And he cracked a couple jokes, signed a couple autographs, and was great. Now, I would more than turn around and tell that story to Mr. Osmond live because he's here in Vegas. I'm a struggling actor eating out of those cans we found yesterday of beans and stuff. That's what they're going to be talking about me years from now.
Metaphor.
And it's like, okay, but that was awesome. And it's like, you know, Donnie Osmond, all these, just like you say, squirrel serendipities about how you pass through here and stuff like that. Yeah. And you finding them photos and then my dad meeting this gentleman who was like, I mean, Donnie and Marie show, the Osmonds. Yeah. I mean, this goes back to the 60s, 70s, you know, with their, I'm thinking of the word, their religion.
They're Mormon.
Mormon.
Not that that matters.
No,
I don't care.
I'm just
Donnie
thinking
and Marie.
About, yeah, this is like that sweet, sweet girl and sweet, sweet young boy grew up around
their
family.
I grew up watching Donnie and Marie every Friday night.
Every Friday night. And now they're here in Vegas running 3 years strong. You got their photos.
It's been longer.
No, no, it says 3 years voted number one, right on the Flamingo.
Okay.
Next time we go up vining. There's the whole hotel is coming.
What casino is it?
The Flamingo.
The Flamingo, okay.
It says right there, right, not on a billboard,
on the building
itself that says Donnie Marie running 3 years number one in Las Vegas.
That's
now,
incredible.
How much better than that goes? You go get the picture. My dad met Mr. Osmond. I'm going to call him Donnie. Why don't you come on our podcast, Donnie?
That would be cool. We could reunite him with his photos that,
yes.
that are not on the internet.
Yes, because I hear he's a very sweet guy. So I'm putting you to the test, Donnie Osmond.
Yeah.
Contact us at where?
Shiny. Well, let's go to our Instagram, which is Shiny Squirrel Podcast. That's the Instagram user account. And then my personal Instagram account. They're basically in tandem, WCW_comedy.
Or you can call us at 310-487-4158. That's my personal number. I love giving it out. I'd love to hear from Donnie Osmond, Marie Osmond, the Osmonds, because I think you should release that because that's part of being a nerdling.
It is a part of being a nerdling.
And with that game, Hungry Hungry Hippos and stuff, back in the 70s, early, actually 80s, actually. So that's what we are. We're nerdlings, and it all ties in.
Now, there's the other thing we got to talk about, who our guest was that we're having coming up on the podcast this Friday. This was a guy who I kept in contact with over time.
Tell them how the dominoes wound up 11 years later.
I don't want to, you're going to have to tune into the podcast, but it's been a long story of 11 dominoes.
11 years of dominoes.
Dominoes before dominoes fell. Now, you're probably going to say, why do I want to listen to that? Because this person in the group he's in continues to be carrying the flag. At one point in time, they had more out. They still hold the record. They've been touring longer than The Who, which is at 50 years now. The Rolling Stones at 50 years. This band is approaching within 2 years of 60 years. I'm talking about, you can laugh if you want, the Kingston Trio.
Wow.
George Grove of the Kingston Trio is going to join us for a podcast. And it was pretty monumental because bigger than the Beatles at one point in time. This record still stands today in November, December of 1958, 1959. They had four albums on the album chart, top 10. That is an accomplishment that not even the Beatles have ever accomplished. And not even these young bucks like Rihanna or Justin Bieber. They can never even touch hands on this at all.
We met George.
I'm winded.
He was just a great gentleman. Charismatic, good-looking guy. All the way around, charmer. And we have a battle going on right now in my brain. You know what I'm saying?
Great storyteller.
Not just that. We also met Phil Fang Volk from the Paul Revere and the Raiders. What I'm thinking is, like you said, imagine those two just jamming together and having that live on our podcast. How special
would that be?
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm overwhelmed with this. And I talk pretty much, but that could just, wow.
So I want to get to our last thing for this podcast. Haven't done it yet. I haven't done it yet because I was trying to put something on Russian YouTube, which was going to be my monkeys podcast, with playing the rarities like we do in the uniquities. But being that they're still, I don't want to get into that whole shove with lawyers and stuff.
What do you call that? Cosmonaut stuff.
It's still in the can. Still working.
Still too much vodka.
But the thing is, the monkeys have just released a new single.
You got to be kidding me. How many years ago did they
Their last single was in 1986 called That Was Then, This Is Now.
30 years later.
It's just...
Are all the monkeys alive?
Davey passed away in 2012.
Okay.
But you're not going to believe who wrote this first single from the song.
Springsteen.
Oh, we wish. River Cuomo. I'm sorry, fans of Weezer, but River Cuomo's... I'm sorry if I mispronounced his last
name. Weezer. Just like Buddy.
What better to have somebody write for the monkeys? He wrote a song called She Makes Me Laugh, and it's their first lead single.
Oh,
and I
want to
pitch it. I want to push it. As I'm a Monkees fan, what better to do it
podcast? With the Monkees. This doesn't get better than this. Listen, fans.
May I play it?
Not just even play it. This is going to be monumental. You might actually be bringing this before radio stations to people.
I bet you I am. But let's play it. Here it is. She Makes Me Laugh, the Monkees' new single. I feel like a DJ from the 60s. Here it is, the brand new hit from the Monkees, the lead single from their next album, Good Times, due out May 27th.
Are you going to lock yourself in the studio and play it for like 48 or 68 or 72 hours like they did back then?
That's a great story.
Pause it up.
Here we go. She Makes Me Laugh.
Cross my heart and hope to die. She sends me silly messages and pictures, directing traffic in the mall, or buzzing with some brand new shoes. She never fails to surprise. She makes me laugh.
That's Jersey Mike.
The only thing I can say about that is like something from the past, but in the future. So it's like sweet.
Yeah.
Bittersweet, something the ears aren't used to hearing.
Yeah.
And it's like the Monkees.
I'm going to be honest. People, the song, like the same five songs I'm hearing all the time. Pat Benatar, I Love Rock and Roll, Heart. Some songs are just beaten to death. It's like I'm getting real tired, honestly, tired of hearing the same three Queen songs all the time. They have a vast catalog. This I would love to hear. I will lock myself in the studio and play this over and over.
I think that is something that we should call on the I don't think they have a studio.
They don't even
think it's
do
all
that.
It's beamed from wherever. But, you know.
How about when the album is released? Because I was reading more about it on Wikipedia. And there's several bonus tracks that are going to come with it from the Japan release, the iTunes release, the Target store release. We should get those all cumed up, play the full tracks, and review the whole thing on
that
spot.
That sounds works.
Education,
good for me.
Review, and critique.
Critiquing the Monkees. That's pretty cool, man. Don't forget, this is the same group that had a show 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, Hey with the Monkees.
And they're still doing it.
And they keep rolling. But they had a national TV show. Yeah. If you think about it, as a group, that's pretty rare back then.
Exactly.
50 years later, they're still cranking them out.
Still cranking. I mean, that's a well-produced. I mean, it's like candy. I got to say, it's candy, almost. I never thought I'd say, and here's the new Monkees single in my lifetime.
Wow. And you know what? That's the crazy part about rock and roll. You start young and you play it till you're dead and old, and it just keeps going on and on and on. That's the Monkees' legacy.
I think we're getting closer than being almost famous.